Thanks for your patience. 11:35 in the zone. And if you want to argue about Ray Lewis, hold your horses. We'll get back to that in a minute. Join now on the Revolution Hotline, where there's big stuff going on this weekend. Actually, before this weekend, by BJ Kissel for SBNation.com and ArrowheadPride.com. So a busy man who has been spending some time at the Senior Bowl, and we read a story from BJ talking about potentially maybe Tyler Wilson's interest in heading to Kansas City. And certainly that's a franchise looking for.
What I want to know is the possibility of Kansas City's interest in having Tyler Wilson land there.
Well, BJ, welcome into the zone, man. Appreciate you coming on. How are you today?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
You bet. So when did you get down there, and when did all the players arrive down there at the Senior Bowl?
I drove down here on Sunday, actually, and I think all the players got here Saturday. There were a few things. There was an introductory press conference, I believe, on Saturday. It was actually my 30th birthday on Sunday. I spent my 30th birthday, driving 14 hours down here to Mobile from Kansas City. So I got here late Sunday night, and I got here in time to get up Monday morning, go to the weigh-in, and take care of all that kind of stuff.
Happy birthday, buddy.
I appreciate it.
So, yeah, one of the things that people talked about was big for Tyler Wilson was that he measured in at least 6'2", and that's what happened, I guess, at the end of the day. He was 6'2", and maybe 216 or 218. So talk to me about where you see him stacking up and what the buzz has been around him at the Senior Bowl in the early going this week.
I didn't get a chance to see the first day of practices on Monday. They actually had the practices overlapped, and they were two different places. So you kind of had to pick which practice you went to, and I went and watched the North team that day. So I got a chance to talk to Tyler Wilson Monday night. I was very impressed, and then I got a chance to see him yesterday, and there was quite a bit of buzz about him yesterday. He his 7-on-7 round, I think he went 8-for-8 or 7-for-8, but there was one drop in there, which is probably the most impressive quarterback display that we've seen so far in the 3 days. Obviously, he's got a practice this afternoon that I'm really looking forward to watching and seeing him kind of build on what he did yesterday. But the buzz around here regarding Wilson is just how he interviews. Everybody on Monday night had a chance to talk with all the players, and I talked to probably about a dozen people, and they were all blown away. And it's not just the content. It's not what the guys say, because, they've had media training. They know what to say. They know what not to say. But there's just a genuine feel about Tyler Wilson when you talk to him. And it's not something that I just felt. It was something that everybody talks about down here. And that he just gets it. He's a genuine guy that understands what he's doing down here and understands the whole process. And that definitely comes across when you're talking to him.
How much did you have a chance to watch him when he was playing in his career at Arkansas?
I went back and watched quite a bit. Most of the, I'd say about 95% of the writing I do is on the Kansas City Chiefs. And there's no surprise that we really need a quarterback. And it's been, since 1983, we took a quarterback in the first round. And I think the Chiefs fans are pretty actually evenly split between Tyler Wilson and then West Virginia's Geno Smith. Those are the two guys, because obviously with the success the guys like Russell Wilson, RG3 and Andrew Luck have, you want a guy that can come in as a rookie and start right away. And the consensus is that those are the two guys that can come in and really play right away and play well.
What other quarterbacks were talked about in a favorable light from the early going?
Mike Glennon actually had a really good practice today. I talked with quite a few people down here, and they were all impressed. And he really likes to throw the ball deep. And when I talked to him on Monday night, I asked him what his favorite route to throw was, and he said, four verticals. He likes getting the ball downfield. The most impressive throws he's made have all been down the right sideline on 9 routes, on fly routes. And it comes across. I talked to a few people and I said, you take away those routes from Glennon, and have you been impressed? And everyone just kind of hesitates for a second, like, well, I don't know, because those are the throws that you remember. He made about, I think, 3 of those throws today, just perfectly throwing balls down the field. So I definitely think he felt his cause, but everybody knew that he could get the ball downfield, and that was his route to throw. But like I said, it's tough to make too much of a judgment on these guys because they're throwing to receivers. One of the things that I've talked with each of the quarterbacks about that are down here is, how difficult is it to try to create that chemistry? You've got, hundreds and hundreds of NFL personnel guys and scouts and coaches down here, and you're pretty big audition for your NFL career, and you're talking with, or you're throwing to guys guy that you've never thrown to before. So it's kind of a unique situation and pretty tough. And Tyler Wilson the other night actually gave the best answer when talking about that, just saying it's all part of the process. And it's not like the NFL personnel guys here don't understand that, and they don't know that. And they just want to see how you react, how you pick up things, and kind of how you deal with it.
Yeah, it's easy for Tyler to feel that way when his number one target, Kobe Hamilton, is also on the Senior Bowl roster with him. So what's their connection been like, and what's the buzz been on Kobe Hamilton?
It's actually been really good. There were a few throws yesterday that Wilson made in the 11-on-11. 7-on-7 drill that he had yesterday was really, really stood out. But when they went to 11-on-11, he found Kobe a couple of times. Actually, I talked to Tyler Wilson yesterday after practice, and I asked him about that, just kind of creating that chemistry. And he said he's getting that. I was like, well, it's pretty nice to have Kobe out there, isn't it? He's like, yeah. He's like, I told him before when we headed down here that, you know, if it's even, I'm going to head your way. And he's going to get the ball to Kobe. So I don't think it's something that Arkansas fans haven't seen a lot of already. But he's found Kobe a couple of times, and Kobe's done well down here.
We've talked to GMs in the NBA, not as much in the NFL. And generally speaking, they're not real forthcoming on what they're looking for. It's a little different with basketball, certainly. But have you been able to get a feel for what Kansas City's going to draft first, or, you know, what kinds of needs they're going to address first? Because it's not just quarterback. There's certainly other issues.
Right. Not that I would feel comfortable in discussing. I mean, there's a lot of rumors out there, and you never know, you know, where they're coming from and what the angle is on the rumors that are coming out. I'd say the biggest thing in regards to what the Chiefs are going to do revolves around left tackle Brandon Albert. He is a free agent. He actually called into 610 Radio in Kansas City yesterday, just out of the blue, to talk to people and tell Chiefs fans that he wants to stay in Kansas City. And he's an above-average left tackle, obviously a free agent, and a lot of the buzz and, you know, talk leading up to this, to the Senior Bowl, was around Luke Jokel going to the Chiefs at number one. I personally don't think that's a great idea. I think we have an above-average left tackle. We just need to pay him and then use the number one pick to upgrade the team rather than just patch a hole that we create ourselves by not paying our guy. So that's personally how I feel about it. I think once free agency begins and we kind of get an idea of, you know, what if they go out and target a quarterback, a lot of talk's been about Michael Vick, just because Andy Reid coming over, that there's a thought that, you know, Michael Vick would go anywhere to play for Andy Reid. So that's definitely something that is going to change probably, I mean, obviously everybody's draft boards, but going to free agency, what they do with Brandon Albert, what quarterbacks they target in free agency, might give us an idea of what they're going to do in the draft.
BJ Kissel joining us, arrowheadpride.com. Sounds like maybe you should be in the front office over there.
Yeah, refresh my memory. What's going on with the QB situation and contracts right now with the Chiefs?
Well, Matt Castle's due at least $7.5 million next season, but there's no dead money. They could cut him. They don't owe him a dollar. I think that, you know, all the positive, you know, buzz that was created, you know, this offseason, you know, 3 weeks after the season ended, we had a new general manager, a new head coach, a new offensive philosophy, a new defensive philosophy, yeah. And the organizational structure changed in that, you know, for the first time in Chiefs history, the Clark Hunt, the CEO and chairman, came out and said, you know, the head coach is now going to directly report to me, as opposed to how it had been for, you know, 52 years of the organization, that the head coach had just reported to the general manager.
Right.
And that was the first thing that actually Clark Hunt said once he decided to go in another direction, was that now the head coach would report directly to him. So there's been a lot of changes with the Chiefs front office, and just organization as a whole, and it's happened very quickly. So no one really knows what to expect going from here, but I think that all of the positive buzz that was created from all of those changes, because when you get the number one overall pick, and, you know, three of the last 4 years, according to Point Differential, with the Chiefs, have been three of the worst four seasons in franchise history.
Right.
I think Clark Hunt understood that a lot of things needed to change, and he's made those changes. And I think that all of that positive, you know, just hope, you know, in the change would kind of go away if then you brought Matt Castle back as quarterback. I think Chiefs fans are kind of done with him.
Yeah. You know, how does that work? I guess, you know, do Chiefs fan base or Kansas City fans, when they look at Matt Castle, you know, the excitement of, I guess, what you saw him do with the Patriots, do you feel duped in a way that he wasn't the quarterback that you thought he could be? Or is this something that maybe a lot of people saw holes in his game and saw this coming?
It depends. It depends who you talk to, I guess. I don't feel like they were duped. I think the one criticism that's hard to justify at this point was the contract they gave him after they traded for him.
Right.
I think that the extent, once he got franchised with New England before we traded for him, there was a certain amount of money he was already going to get. And that you don't want to franchise a guy, you know, give up I think it was like the number 34 pick, the top of the second round pick to get him when Mike Vrabel came over as well. you don't want to give up that kind of, you know, compensation and then not get, you know, at least, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years out of your quota. You don't want to give all that up for just 1 year. But the contract was pretty lofty. And, you know, even the people that, even the faction of the fans that, you know, weren't Matt Cassel supporters, and I thought he would actually have a decent year. Before I actually went on record before the season saying, you know what, he's going to put up better stats than he had in 2010 when he went to the Pro Bowl. But nobody saw him turning. All he had to do was not turn the ball over. And the Chiefs were going to be a decent team. They have a good running game with Jamal Charles, going to have a solid defense. And then, obviously, that didn't end up happening. But it's just he needed to not turn the ball over, and that's the one thing it seemed like he couldn't not do. Every time he turned around, he was either fumbling or throwing an interception. So I don't necessarily think that fans thought they were duped necessarily, but that contract that he was given once they traded for him is kind of a hard thing to justify looking back.
BJ, I'm trying to figure out where it all went wrong for Kansas City. I was at a game several years ago. Certainly it's one of the best fan bases in the NFL. And speaking of Michael Vick, he was actually playing with the Falcons then. They were in town. And it was the game, you may remember, where they had two backs, the Chiefs did, had two backs score 4 touchdowns each. It was a crazy game. And I just think about what happened between then and now, and certainly that wasn't a Super Bowl-worthy team, but you had Priest Holmes running crazy. I mean, there were a lot of good things happening, and now you're talking about one of the, if not the worst, organizations, as far as the product they put on the field, at least,
right,
in the league. So what happened? How did that spiral out of control to where we are today?
I wish I had that answer. I guess that's the million-dollar question with you know, what happened last season. I don't think... And just going back on Cassel, I don't think anyone expected him to play that poorly. And obviously with a quarterback, such an important position that when that position is playing so badly, it affects everything else. And it's hard to say, you know, if they just would have had decent quarterback play, how much would have changed. I think when Scott Pioli, the former general manager, you know, decided to go with Romeo Crennel or had to go with Romeo Crennel, depending upon who you talk to, that maybe he was the only option that Pioli had as far as who would be the head coach last season. I just think I have a lot of – it's very hard for me to say anything critical of Romeo Crennel because of what he had to deal with towards the end of the season and how well I think he handled the Jervon Belcher situation and that whole just mess of a situation. But, you know, I just think that there was a lack of discipline, it seems like, from people you talk to around the Chiefs that, you know, he didn't necessarily – he was very, very much a player's coach, and I think that in certain situations it would have worked out perfectly. NFL teams, I've used this analogy before, it just seems like it's a puzzle, and you got to get the right coach with the right players and the right, you know, front office and just make it work. I think in a different situation, Romeo Crennel could be a very successful head coach. I think he's a very good defensive coordinator. I just don't think that he has the makeup to be a successful head coach. He wasn't very successful in Cleveland. Obviously, wasn't very successful last season in Kansas City.
BJ Kissel, ArrowheadPride.com, joining us from the Senior Bowl. One last thing here. We found out today that Ty Powell, who is just one of three Division II players, a defensive end from Harding, has been added to the North roster for the Senior Bowl, which is being played at 3 o'clock this Saturday down in Mobile. Do you have any information on him? I don't even know if he's arrived down there yet or if he's still en route.
I haven't. I heard that he was coming down, but I didn't get a chance. I spent a lot of my time today watching the defensive backs and the quarterbacks. That's what Chiefs fans want to know about. They want to know how Glennon and Zach Dysart and Ryan Nassib are doing today. So most of my effort down here is following around the quarterbacks and seeing how they're doing.
Okay.
But I haven't had a chance to check out Powell yet.
Okay. Well, again, he'll get an opportunity to showcase his skills, and certainly for a Division II player, it's a great opportunity to do just that. 15 tackles for loss, 8.5 sacks, had a great year. Of course, Harding had a great year, and certainly wish him the best down there as well. BJ, we appreciate you making time. And, yeah, if you see something worthwhile in here, maybe we can get an email or something, or if you want to come back on Friday, maybe talk a little about that. We'd love to get you back.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Just let me know.
Okay, BJ, right, thanks so much.